When it comes to heirloom plants, perhaps none are as diverse and tasty as tomatoes. Although when we asked Living on Earth's Helen Palmer to check into heirloom tomatoes, as an Englishwoman, she prefers to say...
tomato.
Well, anyway, Amy Goldman wrote a gloriously illustrated book about tomatoes called The Heirloom Tomato. And a few summers ago, we sent Helen off for the fields of Rhinebeck, New York, where Amy Goldman writes and tends her garden. Not only does Amy grow heirloom tomatoes, she's also a seed saver extraordinaire, fulfilling the mission of what we just heard Janice Ray talking about.
Tomatoes and I go way back. I started growing them when I was 17 years old, and ever since I've had my hands in the soil.
Amy Goldman grows peaches and blueberries, melons and squash. She keeps ducks and chickens, and of course, she grows tomatoes. Today she wears a long-sleeved shirt and broad-brimmed straw hat against the brilliant late summer sun as she shows off her crops.
We're in the middle of Amy's Folly. This is an acre filled with 500 tomato plants, 250 different sorts, two of each.
And unlike the tomato plants most of us buy from the supermarket, those four packs of reliable hybrid varieties like Early Girl or Big Boy or Sweet 100, Goldman grows heirloom tomatoes.
The term heirloom, it means a tomato of value, capable of reproducing itself true to type from seed that can be handed down to the next generation.
My backyard's a thicket of tomato plants. Goldman's heirlooms are arranged in neat rows. The 6-foot-tall cages are all clearly labeled, widely spaced, surrounded by straw.
The biggest mistake that gardeners make is crowding them. I plant my tomatoes 5 feet apart in the rows and 7 feet between rows. They need full sun. They need air circulation, and that reduces the incidence of disease and allows the plants enough room to grow and prosper.
Goldman heads down the row to a tomato plant with tentacle-like branches sprawling out over the straw.
In this most horrible of tomato years, this plant is going gangbusters. I mean, it's moving across the garden at an alarming rate, and in fact, probably spreading out about 8 to 10 feet in diameter.
This tomato's leaves are bright green, and it's laden with sprays of tiny currant-like fruits.
Alberto shatters. It's a very primitive plant. It shatters. It drops its fruit when the fruit is ripe. The tomato quality is superb. In fact, it's high in acid, high in sugar, very crunchy, and just wonderful. It's probably, if not the smallest, one of the smallest tomatoes in the world, weighing in at about a gram. You can't even weigh it in ounces. It's about a gram and the size of a garden pea.
They taste good, and they're so you.
Well,
you
try it for yourself.
Well, I think I have to.
Yeah. You know,
if I can find a ripe one.
Well, just give it a shake.
These pea-sized tomatoes pack a powerful flavor punch, but that's not their only value for Goldman.
Not only are they flavorful and historic and beautiful garden plants, but it's been found that plants' wild relatives contain genes that bred into modern tomatoes can confer disease resistance and other fine traits.
That's one of the important lessons Goldman wants her heirloom tomato book to teach. She says the earliest wild tomatoes from South America's coastal highlands were small ones like these Alberto shatters. The plant was domesticated in Mexico and gradually bred and selected to create all the varieties we know today. Goldman points to a huge plant in the next row, bending with the weight of bunches of egg-shaped tomatoes.
Now, I've got a tomato right down here called King Humbert or Rey Umberto. It's the forerunner of the San Marzano tomato, which is arguably the most important industrial tomato of the 20th century.
Let's go look at it. Yeah.
There's Rey Umberto genes in every one of the plum tomatoes we know today. This was named in honor of Umberto I, King of Italy, about 1878.
Well, one thing I'm noticing about it as I look at it is it seems to be suffering less from the blight and the browning leaves than the others. And it's very, very heavily cropping. There are lots and lots and lots of tomatoes on it.
This is the value of this variety because it's low input. Generations of Italian peasant farmers have grown it because it doesn't require staking, it doesn't require watering or any attention whatsoever.
Those generations of Italians, like peasant farmers across the globe, recognized the value of this crop, so saved some of the seeds to plant the next year. They passed them on to their children and their grandchildren. That's the paradigm Goldman wants the rest of us to follow. Under many of her plants lie abandoned tomatoes, apparently rotting.
I couldn't possibly eat all of the varieties that I grow, and I joke I'm running a private CSA for my friends and family, but, you know, I'm a seed saver and an advocate for biodiversity, and those very ripe tomatoes are destined for seed saving. That's next year's crop sitting right there.
Goldman's a board member of the Seed Savers Exchange, an Iowa-based nonprofit that's gathered over 25,000 varieties of heirloom vegetables in the last 33 years.
The mission is to stop the extinction of our food crops. We have developed a network of people who are dedicated to collecting, conserving, and sharing heirloom seeds and plants, while educating the general public about the virtues of genetic and cultural diversity.
Goldman wants to spread this knowledge. She says 1-2% of heirloom varieties disappear every year as hybrids take over, and we might need that genetic diversity for our food crops in the future. Her book also traces the history of some 200 luscious tomatoes. It includes taste tests and recipes and celebrates their evocative names.
There's the Radiator Charlie's Mortgage Lifter. There's the Nebraska Wedding Tomato. You know, the heirloom tomato is the people's tomato. It's of, by, and for the people. You know, there's a tomato called Myona because it's my own.
And there's Black Prince, White Beauty, Silvery Fir Tree, Green Doctors, Plum Lemon, Purple Calabash, Sun and Snow. All shapes for all uses. Cup-shaped ones perfect for stuffing. Tiny cherries to pop like candy, mammoth meaty beefsteaks for sandwiches, and all sizes and all colors.
This tomato over here is the yellow peach tomato.
Oh, it's not shiny like...
It's not at all shiny, in fact. It's fuzzy like a peach.
Oh,
the yellow peach tomato. This is strictly garden to table. This is a rare treat that... You know, this can only be grown by the home gardener. They're so fragile, but so wonderful. And I make a wonderful galette with the peach tomato and white peaches.
So that's a kind of pie?
It's a kind of pie.
Which goes to remind us that the chief joy of tomatoes, or tomatoes, however you pronounce them, is to eat them. And though we nibbled our way up and down the rows, it's lunchtime. Goldman starts up the little garden cart she uses round the farm to take us from the tomato field back to the farmhouse. The smell of garlic and basil wafts out through the open kitchen door. Inside, a dozen bronze casts of huge, perfect tomatoes and squash line the kitchen counter. A restaurant-sized fridge and freezer hum. And on the table are baskets of multicolored tomatoes.
We're making Spanish tomato bread. We toasted the bread with a little brush of olive oil and then scrape some garlic on it. And what could be simpler? Put a little bit of tomato on top, maybe some salt, basil, and you've got a treat that you'll live for all year. There's nothing in the world like a homegrown tomato. And heirlooms, at my 35 years of experience as a grower, and plus considerable book learning, have taught me that heirloom tomatoes ripened on the vine in full sun are the most delicious tomatoes of all.
And the tomatoes Goldman offered and we ate were indeed delicious. Goldman sent me home with a huge basket of assorted heirlooms, and I saved lots of the seeds for next year. For Living on Earth, I'm Helen Palmer.